Well, again, you know, much love to Minister Muhammad and Pastor Humphrey for allowing us to have this opportunity to become knowledgeable of what's going on. You know, as I was sitting here and I was thinking about the issues that are in front of us at this moment in time and my position, you know, I am for the community to continue to do what we've been doing. You know, there's no concern about a change of venue, to be honest. Because even if the change of venue was to take place, I am believing that I stand on this justice, as I read it in God's word, that justice will be served.
That's right.
Now, whether we win, if it gets moved out of Oakland, there's going to be a major wake-up call where we win.
That's right.
Because it's going to send a major notice out to people of color about what we truly need to pay attention to. This is very dear and close to us, and to see it be taken away and totally given away will be painful in a sense that it will raise some new issues and some new concerns. So I'm not afraid of the change of venue, nor am I afraid to even speak at any future engagement before October the 2nd. But I do have a concern that I have to always keep in front of me, that this is not about me.
That's right.
I have a sister who has lost a dear son, who is suffering behind that loss. So every decision and position that I take, I think of her first and how it affects her. And if she asks me to please not speak, I don't speak.
That's right.
Because this is not about me. About her. Now, I may not agree with that, but I'm not selfish enough to just take it on my own and do what I want to do.
That's right.
Because this is not about me. It's truly about the community, but it's also truly about her. Now, I believe, for the community's sake and goal, is that we do what we've been doing. And we stand up and we make it be known that we're not going to let this die. I believe for myself that it should be known that I am not going to sit quietly and watch this just happen.
That's right.
But I still have to listen to the one who hurts the most, and that's my sister. You know, so I wanted to share that so that if I am absent from an issue or a venue, that's because my sister whispered in my ear, "I'm afraid that you shouldn't talk." And so I may not. Because of her sake, you know. But I want you to know that I am truly behind what's happening. I truly believe that the community as a whole is going to win this case. I believe that. You know, but for the mothers who have lost sons, their vision may not be as wide as ours. And their faith may not be in the point of the community in a sense as we are. But yet, she stands on a justice that
is right.
Way above this justice that we're fighting. And I know in her heart she believes that justice will be served. You know, I love what you said earlier, Pastor Humphreys, concerning the fact that even when we're doing right, there's going to be some that's going to say we're doing wrong.
That's right.
You know, and because of that, and because of what's been said, we've been doing it right. You know, we've been civil. We've been obedient. We've been following the First Amendment of rights,
that's
freedom
right.
of speech. You know, we've been gathering together, sometimes large, sometimes small, speaking about this issue and concerned about justice. And yet, we've been told that what we're doing is not right. You know, to kind of silence our God-given right to speak about the injustices that are happening in this society. And we can't let that happen.
Can't let it.
I'm not going to let it happen.
That's right.
But I'll be mindful of who this is about and what it's about for the closeness that I'm involved in this. But maybe if I wasn't a brother, I might be doing it a little bit different. You know, not in the sense of violence, but in the sense of letting everybody know. But, you know, we must keep the fight going.
That's right.
You know, thank you to all the different activist groups that are out there that have, you know, been sharing this, especially with the high schools, the teachers that are involved, you know, the kids that are being woken up into what we must do as a community that's learning at this early age what it takes. So I say thank you to all. You know, there's an event that's going to happen on October the 16th, which is Friday, at the RPS Art Gallery off of 23rd and the Telegraph. I forget the exact address, which is a night that we're going to share about Oscar and who he is. You know, and it's my hope to have a couple of other things going on, especially with some high schoolers involved. It's an art show, mainly for the whole month of October. I left the flyer in the car. Do you have a flyer by chance, please?
You know, I think I do.
I'll just share this if you're unaware.
The folder, courtesy of Art.
Because I'd like to invite everyone that's in here out there to that event. You know, it not only will show,
that's it.
Again, our interest in what's going on in the society, but this is our actions that speak loud. Showing up speaks loud. But anyhow, it's the it's titled The Human Face of Death Row. And it's about many of the brothers, brown and black men, that are sitting behind bars that are actually on death row in their artwork. And it's been presented, in a sense, and they've given us an opportunity to share that night, or at least given us a night to talk about Oscar. And, you know, what's going on in the case. So again, I would just like to invite everyone out. You know, we're in a war.
That's right.
We've won some battles in this period of time that this war has been going on. And I'm sure we're going to win many more of these battles.
That's right.
But the ultimate victory is winning the war. Will we win this war? I believe so morally. You know, especially if we all trusted in God and praying consistently. But this is a real battle. It's a battle for the family. It's a true struggle. Because there's no pain like the pain every time I think about how they show my nephew being murdered. You know, I get to see this, and I hate it, but I have to see it continuously. So it's not like we get to sleep on the fact of how he was murdered, because they won't let us. You know, so there's a reason why we all should do what we're doing today. I think that's it.
All right. As Brother Stevens was saying, of course, we are reminded of very real pain endured by the families who have cases before them. And I recall in one of the early town hall meetings, I think a young man was accused of starting a riot. I told him, brother, don't talk. We'll talk for you. And we are more than capable, Pastor and Bet, Christopher and many others, of speaking into those storms so that the families who are still certainly concerned and in many ways grieving our losses know that you have a community that is here to show our love for you by standing with you and for you. This is not about the Nation of Islam. This is not about BAM. This is not about Olivet. This is about truth and justice. And we will stand with you and for you and by your side. Of course, we have our sister Browning that is here. I don't know if she wanted to share anything, but we are looking more closely into these cases as they unfold because we understand that what makes Oscar's case so uniquely different is the presence of so many videos. And were it not for those many videos, then as Peroni said, he wouldn't have even taken their names down for the brutality that they were dishing out on those young men on that evening. And so, sister, whenever you're ready, you just tell me. It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be next week. But if there's anything that we can do to be of service to you and your family, then let us know and we'll walk with you every step of the way. You should know that we talked about a few weeks ago the criminalizing effort that has been made by the media against those particularly black people who have had these engagements with law enforcement, from Parnell Smith, who was killed while running away from Brownie Polk, who was killed while reasoning with the officer. Of course, Brother Oscar, while reasoning with the officer. And then we had a few weeks ago, at the invitation of our sister, Dr. Tosco, relatives of our son and child lost, Hassani Campbell. And while their family has been reasoning with the officers, they've cooperated with every phase of investigation, they've done everything that the police departments have asked of them, and rather than continue to search for their child, OPD has taken the position, we're going to arrest the foster parents without evidence of any kind and declare that this is no longer a missing person incident, this is now a homicide incident, when they don't have a drop of blood, a strand of hair, nothing that says that anybody has committed a crime other than the crime of taking a sign from his family on that day. And so to charge the parents, Dr. Tosco shared with us that they've been out searching the area and that one of the residents in the area came to her when they found that item of clothing that was on the news a few weeks ago. You were there as well. And she said that one of the neighbors came and asked, what's all the commotion? What's happening? And that she told her, we're looking for Hassani. Someone's found a sweater or a sweatshirt. She said, you mean Hassani Campbell? Yes, that's who we're looking for. I saw him, the resident told Dr. Tosco, the day that he turned up missing. In fact, I saw him walking behind another person, following someone. Well, okay, OPD said, after showing some videotape of Hassani with his family in Walmart a few days before, they said, we don't have any evidence that he was even in Oakland. Now, here's a witness who not only said, I saw him, but I saw him with somebody other than his foster father, walking up the street around the time that he turned up missing. And rather than investigate that person's report, they come out with a press conference and say, this is a homicide, we're arresting the parents, and we've got who we're looking for. They should have just shut up. They shouldn't have said anything. And even if they thought that the parents were somehow suspect, until there's some evidence to match the thought, you're just flapping your lips, you're slandering people, and you're putting pain on parents that have lost their child. So we have many reasons to be doubtful of many in law enforcement. There are some that mean well, but there are others who are more concerned with protecting their systems of governance of people than they are with providing justice for the people at a whole. This is why this case is so critical. The eyes of the world are on Oakland, California. And the world wants to know, can justice be served in the United States of America, and in this instance, in Oakland, California, in a case whose merits are greatly produced in evidence by videotape. So in that instance, the world becomes the jury. We've seen enough. And we don't need to be in a courtroom for us to declare Johannes Mesley to be guilty. The man is guilty. Tell Mr. Raines to quote me in his next file. Brother Keith said, Johannes Mesley is guilty. That was enough things of him. The preliminary evidence was enough. The man is guilty, and I have a right to say it. Now, if Mr. Raines wants to interview me for the jury pool, he already knows to throw me out. So put somebody else on there that doesn't know what I know. Period. And there are tens of thousands of people who don't know the case as I know the case, or as you know the case, gone into the city of Oakland and secure a fair trial for Johannes Mesley. Not fair for him, but fair for the family of Oscar Grant. So thank you. I think we've made all of our information we wanted to share with you on this week. Go to indiebay.org/Oscar Grant. Or is Oscar Grant the third?
Oscar Grant.
Oscar Grant.
And lower
it will
case.
Give you, in all lowercase, it will give you updates on what's going on. I did not mention, I failed to mention, and then I'll take my brother's thoughts. I failed to mention that the district attorney, whom we demanded that he should resign, retire, or face a recall, is surely fully aware of the mechanisms of recall that we laid in place. And when I read on the Oakland Tribune its coverage of the opposition of Councilperson Brooks to the selection, not the election, the selection, you know, like Bush got in the first time, the selection of the District Attorney Nancy O'Malley. Be very clear, we don't really know Nancy O'Malley very well. We don't have any personal issue with her. I don't have a case history on her. But what we do know is that the district attorney is an elected office, and that for the outgoing candidate to make a selection without even giving those that are going to vote her in a chance to inquire, the county supervisors didn't have a public hearing with which to ask Ms. O'Malley, what are her qualifications? What are her thoughts? What are her objectives? And if they had a meeting to do that, then that meeting should have included the public, to give the public a chance to say, well, Ms. O'Malley, what is your position on three strikes? What is your position on death penalty? What is your position on the disproportionate minority confinement issue here in the state of California? We didn't have a chance to ask her nothing. They came in for the county supervisors meeting to celebrate and have a party. I'm sure they had cake and candles in the room right next door. But when they covered Councilperson Brooks' position, what surprised me was they linked in the town hall meeting, the audio of it, that heard me asking you to come and sign this petition again, because we're going to get it. And it was in the Oakland Tribune's website. So, wow, check that one out. It covered the whole town hall meeting. And as Dave said, it was a good thing because it allowed them to hear our position on AB 312, which the Oakland Tribune have decided to write again about the legislative failure that was hosted by Assemblyman Swanson, which we're happy that bill failed, because that bill robbed the teeth, the few that were in the mouth, of the oversight model that was produced by Bart and others in the first place. But it acknowledged, and I hope that our Assemblyman Swanson and our Assemblyperson Amiano will sit together and produce an even stronger model that is placed before the legislature. I would rather them say no to what's right than to have them to say yes to what's wrong. Let me say that again. Where oversight of law enforcement is concerned, it would be better for us that they outright say no to what's right. Because then the charge is on us to mobilize the masses in our Caravan for Justice and other efforts to make a demonstration that what you said no to must be overturned. There's a new sheriff in town. Stop listening to the sheriff union, because law rests in the hands of God and in the people of God. Do what's right. I would rather them say no to what's right than yes to what's wrong, because what's right is going to win eventually anyway. So it's only a matter of time. And so we are looking forward, hopeful, that Mr. Swanson and Mr. Amiano and us will sit together to determine a system of police oversight that is state mandated out of the hands of the general management of BART. Here, Mr. Raines is saying that his case is terrible because of so much press, but he and BART are making all the press. You all know that BART put four of the officers back to work last week? How did you know? How did it get there? That's a question. I'm not standing around the employee office of BART saying who checks in. How did it get there? I believe Peroni and Dominici are still waiting in the sidelines being paid. Maybe they're on vacation. There was an old story that they might have had a relationship we didn't know much about. So those two are still on paid vacation. Four have been reassigned to work, but how did that end up being an Oakland Tribune story? How many of you ever took a day off work? How many found that when you went back to work that it was on the Tribune? See, things that just don't make sense allow us to know that BART and Mr. Raines are feeding the press in the midst of a gag order. And I'll close with this one and take our brother's thoughts, and we do have to be brief. Raines made his filing on September the 11th. He's pandering to the fear of people about dark-skinned people. But the artists that are presenting their demonstration and presentation in honor of Oscar have chosen October the 16th as the date for that event. You know what happened on October the 16th? The Million Man March. So Raines chose a day of terror. And the artists who honor Oscar chose a day of love. And so that just is a sign to us that we're doing the right thing. So Jack and my brother had...
I wanted to just mention, I'm sure you want to know about this young brother, J.R.
Yes.
Who is a writer for the Bayview. He also is on a radio station on KPFA. He does a clock report, 5 o'clock, on KPFA, 94.1. Is still being charged with felony charges by the state for the magazine and the people who kind of got off the board. And the thing is, I have to say, I sincerely doubt that JR is just any destruction. That's not his thing. He really is a reporter.
That's right.
But they, because he's defiantly, arguing with this, they've actually threatened him. And he's going to court Monday, 9.
What is his last name?
Valroy. V-A-L-R-O-Y. Valroy. J-R. Valroy.
I don't know what J-R. Yeah, I'm sorry. But this should show you how blatant. Racist. I mean, these people are lost now. J.R. pleaded innocent. He said, I'm innocent. I think that's your right assumption. The judge says to him that he is being reckless by insisting on his innocence. I'm actually just out of his mouth. You have to wonder about these things. Having a nervous breakdown, or just delusional, or what can make my judge say that a person that insists on their innocence is reckless for saying that they're innocent. So that's to show you, them I have to take a beating. Them I have to take a beating. So
that's right. Of course, we all support our brother J.R. and his demand for justice. And too many people are incarcerated now to plea bargains that they never needed to take. And so there are far too many who are being hustled into prison because of this plea bargaining process. Yeah. If he says, I'm not plea bargaining because I didn't do anything wrong, then he should stand on having done nothing wrong. You know, one of the great pieces of advice that I heard given was given to Michael Jackson. And many of you know, of course, he had been accused from a young man of molestation, and he paid a settlement some years ago. But when he was accused again, he told, in essence, he told Minister Farrakhan, I'm tired of people messing with me. Mm-hmm. And the minister told him, fight. Stay. I'm going to fight him, minister. And he did. And the jury exonerated him of those charges because he fought for himself. They want for us to take a plea because they know that many times, unfortunately, you get a public defender, and after they finish pleading your deal in the back room over Subway sandwiches and turkey and ham, and then they come out in the front room and you end up with time and you know you didn't do anything. This is happening to people all across the county. This is why we're concerned with who would be the DA. Is this how we do business? You go to lunch, the defense attorney and the district attorney or the prosecutor, and you all chop it up over the lives of people who are going to spend inordinate times incarcerated in a system, by the way. Brother Wilson, help me. The federal court has ordered 44,000 to be released in the state of California's fight.
Exactly.
So the state of California is resisting arrest.
Yeah.
And they ought to arrest the governor. Charge him with contempt of court. And since his arms are so big, when they can't get the cuffs around them, they should pull out their clubs and their tasers. Oh, I thought it was a taser. No, really. You see them thumbing their nose at the law. Man comes to see President Obama with an AK-47 strapped to his back. And you got gun advocates saying, well, he has a right to bear arms. In front of the president? See, if that were Clinton or Bush, that brother was a black guy who went to see the president with an AK on his back, he wouldn't have survived. I can't even imagine him living through that process, to be quite frank with you. I don't even see him physically alive walking up on a president of the United States with an AK type weapon on his back. I just don't see it. Out of order, he'd be dead. What do you think?
I think that it
killed him. He was reaching for it. He was pointing this way. They even said for Medley, I thought he was in his waistband. Right? So it just shows us the disparity of the time that we're living in. Remember, as always, we have to remain vigilant. We've got to keep our eyes wide open. They're playing many political games right now as we speak. I appreciate the fact that Supervisor Carson and Supervisor Miley both stood up against the rest of the Allegheny County supervisors and said, it's not the person, the system is wrong. This is a that Nate was stronger than I ever heard of. I was kind of shocked. Go ahead, Nate. Miley, he's not here right now, but I was proud of him. That's what I was proud of. He was at his office around the corner from us. Right on Fairfax, up the street from the little coffee shop. So he did a good thing in speaking out. Supervisor Carson did a good thing in speaking out. Councilperson Brooks did a wonderful thing in making it known what her position was. And we all who supported them did a wonderful job. They actually brought in an army of lawyers. I never seen a council meeting of this nature. You see the council people dressed a certain kind of way. We got there an hour early. They pushed it back. Somehow it took them an extra hour and a half to come out and tell us what they were going to do. But we waited on it. And as we waited, there were about 70 men in suits and women. These were those who came at the call of Attorney Orloff to show their support for Nancy O'Malley, because they knew that we were coming. So I guess they felt like they had to gather up all the backup to make their position known, and we missed it by one vote. One vote, and she would not be DA, it would be subject to a democratic process. Yes, sir, Brother Jack.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Praise God. Thank you. All praise belongs to God, and since praise belongs to Him, and we're at the end of our time, then why don't we stand together and thank Him for His goodness and for His mercy. We're glad we lost Pastor. So, is there another pastor in the house? Wilson, are you a hidden pastor?
I don't know.
You minister.
Then let us pray.
O Lord God, we thank You for this gathering for truth and justice. We thank You for Your servants that revealed Your words. We thank You for those in whose hearts is the demand for justice. We pray, O God, that You bring ease to the hearts of those that suffer, that You help us and relieve the grief of those that have lost our loved ones to injustice. We thank You, O Allah, for this chance to raise up truth, that we may organize and mobilize a community to do for what is right. We ask these prayers in the names of Your righteous servants, and we say together, Amen.
Amen.
Assalamu alaikum.